So as you know, today is a little bit different from other Sundays. We're not going to be looking at the book of Ezra this morning, which we've been in for a number of weeks now. But the book of Ezra has shaped the things that I want to share with you this morning. And I typically like to think of the AGM as our State of the Union address. Although that phrase has kind of been turned into, I'm the ruler of the world and listen to me. And I don't want to give that vibe out this morning, but so I've called this just recognizing our moment in time. And I want to invite you into a time of discernment. I want to describe for you what I think our moment in time looks like and ask you to discern with me. And so the things I'm sharing with you this morning, they represent my personal understanding of this church. And I think it's important for you to know what I'm thinking as one of the leadership team, because my insight, my perspective obviously has an impact on our future direction. And if we're going to discern together, you need to know where I'm coming from. So this is not the teaching of Scripture this morning. This is the thoughts of your pastor based on the teaching of Scripture. We've been in the book of Ezra for a number of weeks, and there are a lot of things that Ezra has to say to us, some things they can teach us, particularly about focusing on the right things. What does it mean for us to be a covenant people, and how God called them to be a covenant people before he restored the temple? First things had to be first. And we talked last week about how God let Israel go through 14 years of silence and spiritual formation before allowing them to restore the temple. And I suggested last week that perhaps God has given Mountain Park our own version of 14 years of silence and spiritual formation. Not that it is literally 14 years, and not that God has been silent. That's not true. But like Israel, we have experienced, I think, a season of intentional, on God's part, intentional spiritual formation. A season of weaning from some of these secondary things to bring us back to the first things. That we love the Lord our God with all our heart. That we be wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And that this period of weaning has been part of our, as Mountain Park, our larger covenant story. The story of Israel, as you know, was told over hundreds of years, and they had to recognize their covenant moment in the context of centuries. And I think Mountain Park, too, has centuries of history. 2025 is the 500th anniversary of the Mennonite Brethren Conference. And a few weeks ago, Janet sent me a video that details the history and the biblical priorities of our MB faith, our conference. And I was tempted to show the video this morning, but it's a bit long, so I may just ask Carrie to put the link in the ACE this week, and you can view it on your own. But the thing I really appreciate about this video is that it highlights not just the history, but the biblical foundations that have shaped MB history and MB covenant story. And the thing that struck me was that our four banners, they reflect the theological foundations of 500 years of MB. If there's a recurring theme to this video, it would be two or three times in the video, reform out of complacency and return to four careful basic doctrines. And those four doctrines just happen to be following the way of Jesus, proclaiming the gospel of Christ and being serious about following him. Second, being people of the book, discerning Scripture through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Third, practical mercy, that we are a people that love our enemies and serve the least. And fourth, that we are a people who do this in community. We are accountable to one another for all of these things. These are the four themes in the history of MB for 500 years. And so our moment today is not just a Mountain Park moment. I believe it's based on the theological foundations that God has put into our family of believers for five centuries. And our task is how to grasp our last 25 years in the context of those 500 years. That God has brought us back to the roots of covenant story. And today we capture the radical lifestyle of the MBs by the phrase, wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. Being wholehearted is meant to be a radical statement. It's not a half-hearted commitment. And so what I want to do is look at the story of Mountain Park, radical commitment to Jesus Christ within the context of reform and seriously following Jesus Christ. I want to use a graph to tell our story this morning. So let me begin by explaining this graph. This graph is the depiction of a typical life cycle of a church. In the beginning, when a church starts, it's called a church plant, or it's called the launch phase of a church. This new work typically has some momentum. There's excitement, and the momentum and the growth sets the stage for the first phase, which is called strategic growth. Momentum will only get you so far. The long-term viability and health of the church requires intentional biblical leadership according to the ecclesiology, the structures of the church that Christ has given us. The long-term stability requires strategic growth and planning. The hard work of making disciples and growth eventually becomes normalized, and you arrive at the top of this life cycle, which is called sustained health. Now, the danger of sustained health is that it begins to become ordinary. Over years, and sometimes even decades, the church slips into complacency, and they lose the radical edge of wholehearted devotion to Jesus Christ, the things that brought them to this stage. And so the church can become complacent, and the church slides into maintenance mode. We just keep doing what we're doing. And that begins the slow decline through preservation, and eventually the church recognizes that it's on life support and it needs serious health. Now, this life cycle can take many decades. It's a common life cycle, but it is not an inevitable life cycle. So the solution is to relaunch when you're at the top of the graph. And so in church leadership, we talk about investing in new ministry. Let's plant another church. Let's launch a new ministry. Let's add another service so that we don't become complacent and just keep doing the things that we're doing. Complacency comes when the church focuses on the people who are already inside the church and they lose the vision for the people that are not in the church, the people that we have been called to reach. And this is why churches need to constantly reevaluate their vision, always having their eyes on people outside the church who do not yet know Jesus Christ. And so that's what we would want to see in any church. And with that framework, let's look at the story of Mountain Park. Mountain Park was planted in 1991. I've read reports that the church was launched with 250 people. And I don't know this. I suspect that might have been the opening membership because as I've spoken with Pastor Herb, the founding pastor of this church, he told me that there were actually 396 people at the first service when they met in the school. Either way, this was an impressive launch. This building we're in now was constructed in 1994. And if you think about it, that's only 3 years before this facility was built. The church had momentum. And adding a building after only 3 years only increased the momentum. The MB conference at that time supported a large mortgage for this church, and that decision was based at least in part on the leadership and the momentum, and the church continued to grow. In 1997, the church was beginning to move into the strategic growth phase. Again, momentum is good, but will only get you so far. And the reason I chose 1997 is because that's the year Pastor Cam Stewart came on staff. And his responsibilities were to focus on discipleship and spiritual formation. And these are the type of things that are typical of the strategic growth phase. You're equipping people for ministry. But this is where things got a little complicated. There's something in church planting that's called agenda harmony. Agenda harmony is that when you're gathering a group of people to build a church, you want to make sure that everybody agrees on the vision. Everybody agrees on what we're going to build momentum with. And everybody agrees on the strategy that will take us forward. Agenda harmony. In Mountain Park at that time, there was a difference of opinion on how to enter the strategic growth phase. There were different strategies on the table. Now, either of the strategies would have been good. They're both good strategies, and the problem was not with the strategy. The challenge was a lack of agenda harmony. And that difference resulted in staff resignations, and it resulted in a significant number of people leaving the church. And so in 1998, there was an exodus. When a church faces a crisis moment like this, the focus shifts, as you can imagine. The focus is no longer on the long-term strategic plan to move us forward. The immediate focus becomes sustainability. How do we bring stability in the midst of crisis? And this, in particular, in the case of financial stability, because of financial crisis. The church was 4 years into a mortgage that was based on a large congregation, leadership, and momentum. But these had all suffered loss. In 1999, Pastor Terry came to lead the congregation. Now, Terry is a bright guy, and he knew what he was stepping into. And I have to admire the courage of Terry to step into a leadership challenge that was complex and daunting. The church that had one moment had so much going for it on the growth curve of momentum was suddenly on the decline curve of preservation. This was an aberration from the normal life cycle of the church, and it required a different approach. It required a different wisdom. The financial burden on the congregation put it on a trajectory towards life support. They were not in life support, but the trajectory was there based primarily on a financial crisis. In 2004, under Terry's leadership, the church was sold to the school board. And a couple of things happened at that time. The first is that the trajectory of the future of the church was changed. The financial cliff was gone. And that decision gave Mountain Park a 25-year runway to figure things out. And that was a pivotal moment of God's grace and God's provision. It's not something that could have been anticipated or planned. God intervened. And that's the first key turning point in our story. And as you know, we now have 4 years left of that 25-year runway. The other thing that happened at that moment is that the church firmly settled into preservation mode. We're no longer headed towards life support, that's good, but neither did we have momentum. And the momentum of the previous decade was gone. You can't go back and pick up in the past. You have to find a path forward. And that's where Terry focused his leadership on the church. Melissa and I came to Mountain Park in 2018. During my tenure, the church continued to decline in numbers, and we continued to live in preservation mode. 1 year later, we went through COVID-19, which put every church in preservation mode. And it was during this disruption of COVID-19 that God began to do a work of momentum. Strange as it may seem, God chose that moment to restore our identity as a church, to restore our confidence that God was at work. And for the first time since I had come, I heard people speaking with pride about Mountain Park Church and inviting people to join us. Zoom services became a place of community, and importantly, it became a setting of momentum. Again, no one could have planned this or predicted this. This is the favor of God. It is God's covenant faithfulness. And I think at that second pivotal moment, our proverbial 14 years of darkness and formation was seeing the first hints of a new day during the pandemic. This was the second key turning point in our story. Now, before I talk about this new season of momentum, I want to make a couple of observations about our story to this point. First, I want you to see that Mountain Park, in its 34 years, has never seen a period of strategic growth or sustained health. This church has never had that experience. That's not to say that this church has never been healthy. It's not to say we're not healthy now. I believe we are very healthy now. But the observation is that our life cycle was disrupted. And that experience does something to the formation of a congregation. It does something to our identity and the way we think about ourselves. So what has happened over these past 34 years? In our 34 years since the launch, this church has had 7 years of positive momentum, rapid growth, really exciting. And some of you were here for that. But since then, we have had 22 years of preservation. 22 years of a mindset that requires disciplined faith that doesn't always come easy. 22 years of praying and asking God for momentum, but it always seems to be just out of reach. And then God, in His grace, provided the initial momentum right in the midst of the pandemic. And since then, we have now had 5 years of slowly building momentum. And in those 5 years, we have concentrated on one thing. We will make wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. And like in the book of Ezra, where God spent 14 years renewing His covenant people before renewing the temple, I would suggest that God has spent 27 years renewing the people of this church before renewing our mission and ministry. This is the Ezra story, renewal and rededication. It is our 500-year MB history, renewal, rededication. And it is our Mountain Park story, renewal. Reform through a radical, wholehearted love and obedience to Jesus Christ. And so God has renewed a biblical foundation for us. He has given us momentum. And now we're at a point where we need to turn our momentum into a strategic plan for long-term ministry. But I want to be really clear that the things that we plan going forward, the way we steward momentum, must be based on the biblical foundations of what God has given to us. We will make wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. Anything less will have consequences. Agenda harmony will be important. And so we want to discern this path together. Our future is not about a comfortable new building for Christians to enjoy each other. We do not want to find a new place so that we can be complacent. We need to find a new facility that's about making wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ, and that our eyes remain on those outside the church. And that brings us to our moment this morning. I want to share with you three elements of a path. This is not a plan, this is a path going forward, with three words that I think represent the challenges before us. And at the end of this, I'm going to ask you to reflect on what you're hearing, to talk about it as a table, and to respond to two questions. One of them will be, is this resonating with you? What's resonating with you? What would you affirm? And the second, what is not resonating with you? What would you caution us as leaders? Again, we want agenda harmony. We want to discern these things in community. In a few moments, we're going to be electing new elders, and our elders will gather on Tuesday night and take some of the feedback that you've given us this morning to begin the process of discerning in community. So the first key word that I want to give you this morning is the word capacity. Over the next 3 to 12 months, I'm suggesting that we examine our ministries, and that we lead in such a way that we can worship and serve within our current capacity. What does that mean? Right now, we have 3 ministry areas that have traditionally been staff-led: children's ministry, youth ministry, worship ministry. 2 of these positions are currently vacant, and Leanna is leading our children's ministry. Leanna, her contract, if you will, to lead during the maternity leave expired at the end of February. She has agreed to serve beyond that time to give us, again, some runway to continue examining, but this is not a permanent solution. She's giving us time. And where's Leanna? Leanna, I want to thank you for your service this last year and for... And for giving us time to think through the big picture. So capacity for 3 to 12 months asks this question. What can we as volunteer ministry servants, what can we do without dedicated staff? If we had to go 12 months without additional staff, what is sustainable? In other words, what can we do without burning out our people? In youth ministry, I asked Nick to schedule the youth ministry for the next few months going forward. And I've begun to meet with some of the youth leaders, and we're going to talk about capacity. What can we actually handle with the people that we have? What can we manage? The same is true of Sunday worship ministries. Nick set up a 3-month schedule going forward based on the capacity of our volunteers. And what we found is that we have a capacity for regularly having 3 normal worship services per month. But we don't have the capacity for 4 traditional worship services per month. To push for 4 would be burning out our leaders. And so we have chosen not to do that. So this will give us an opportunity to explore some new expressions of worship. On March 30th, we're going to have our first alternative service. We're still going to meet in here, but there won't be a, you know, traditional worship team up front leading us. We will find other ways to worship together, and we'll still meet together. One of the big tasks in the area of worship has always been the scheduling and the coordination of multiple people, sound technicians, media, vocalists, musicians, putting all those things together. So that scheduling and coordination is a huge task. Maureen Schmidt has come forward and offered to serve in this area. So Maureen, I want to thank you for stepping into this. She's learning, yeah. So she has committed to learning our Planning Center program. And over the next week or two, we're going to get together with the worship leaders and with Maureen, and we'll be planning out our worship services based on the capacity that we have. We'll create a schedule that doesn't burn anybody out. And so our goal is to meet regularly at a pace of ministry that we can sustain, that will not hurt our leaders. That's the first thing, capacity. The second key word that I want to bring to you is the word staffing. And the timeline here is not just in the next year, but in the next 1 to 5 years. The immediate question, of course, is, are we going to go out and hire for the same job descriptions that we've had up to this point? Well, there's a number of things we need to think about with that. The first one is, the cost of living in the Lower Mainland has become out of reach for young families. As you know, many young families are moving to Alberta based primarily on the cost of living. This was one of the factors in Nick's resignation. It wasn't the only factor, but frankly, it was a strongly contributing factor. It's just too expensive to start a family and try to survive on one income. Now, I want to be clear that this issue is not an issue of our church salaries. This is a reality of the Lower Mainland in every industry. Secondly, a few weeks ago, as we dismissed the children on a Sunday morning, there were 17 children that left the room to go to nursery and to Sunday school, the Kingdom Kids. Our children's ministry is supported by about 10 hours a week of administrative support. And the question is, can we use this same model with youth ministry and with worship ministry? We have lots of gifted leaders. The primary challenge is coordination, scheduling, encouraging, and equipping. And this is why these first 3 to 12 months of measuring capacity are so important for us, because it might lead us to staffing differently. Is it possible that we could have 3 10-hour-a-week leaders who concentrate on equipping and encouraging our gifted leaders? Or should we hire an associate pastor who could be primarily overseeing the coordination and encouraging of all 3 ministries, and perhaps looking at small group ministries, as well? There are lots of possibilities out there. And I'm not trying to hint at a plan or that I have a bias. I'm suggesting that this first 3 to 12 months will give us information. And that as we learn about our capacity, it will inform our staffing decisions. But that means we probably won't make staffing recommendations for at least 6 months. So we have to build our capacity beyond 6 months. But notice that the timeline here is not just for the next 6 months to a year. This is up to 5 years. We need to think longer term. 5 years from now, we will be in a new location. And 5 years from now, I will turn 70. What will we do in succession planning? These are the types of questions that we're putting before our elders. We're electing new elders this morning, and on Tuesday they're going to come together. They've been oriented towards these discussions so that they know what they're signing up for. But hopefully with some feedback from our congregation, we can begin to mutually discern all of these questions together. This leads us to the final keyword, which is facilities. And you'll see that the timeline is the same, 1 to 5 years. If we had a facility opportunity that came up in the next year, we would certainly entertain it. So this could be a year away. But it could be that at the end of the year, end of our lease, 4 years from now, we still don't have anything permanent. We could find temporary space. So that's why I'm extending it beyond the 4 years. It could be 1 year, it could be 4 or 5 years, we just don't know. Right now, our facilities task force is asking some good questions. Number one, what kind of facilities are we looking for? And on the surface, that could be as simple as how large of a worship space do we need? How many seats do we need for worship? And where do we want to meet? Those are good questions. But we're also asking a deeper question. What kind of space lends itself to making wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ? Let's come back to the theological and biblical foundations that God has put into us over these past years. Let's come back to what created the momentum in the first place, a sense of pride in what God is doing in our community, laying aside secondary things and focusing on the most important things, loving God with all our heart and making people that love Jesus with all their heart. And so how does our vision, our capacity conversation, our staffing strategy, how do all these speak into our facilities conversation? Because they all speak to one another. How do our four banners inform the type of space that we need? Community is a really easy one. We gather together as a Sabbath community for worship, so we want a space that we can gather together in. That one's easy. What about showing mercy? How will our space be a practical expression of mercy? Serving people outside the church. What about following Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did? He used meals to create space. Does that say something about a flexible space, that we need tables and chairs and that we need a kitchen? Our facilities team has done some preliminary work on these questions, identifying some good thoughts. And in the future, we're going to host some town hall meetings because we want to hear from you. Again, agenda harmony is so important. We need to discern these things together. And so over the next few months, we're going to be hosting some meetings to explore these questions. And these are all the things that we will face together in the next 5 years. Facilities, staffing, and over this next year in particular, exploring our capacity. but they all need to reflect our vision of making wholehearted followers of Jesus Christ. So I submit to you this morning that this is the way I see our church. This is how I understand our moment and our trajectory for the next 5 years. And I humbly confess that this is my perspective. This is not yet our perspective. What we need is to discern in community. We need to talk about these things and dive into them. Now, I've shared a lot of information with you this morning, and some of it may be a bit overwhelming, so I'm not going to ask you to dive into any of the details this morning. What kind of building do you think we should have? What kind of staff do you think we should have? Let's not go there. We don't have to decide any of these things this morning. Today is not about making decisions about a plan. Today is about discerning a pathway towards a plan. On your tables, there's a sheet there that is simply called Table Talk. And what I'd like to ask you to do is to take the next 10 minutes and to answer two questions. What resonates with you in the Mountain Park story? As you sit in a posture of discernment, what affirmation would you speak to the elders? We're going to gather these and share these thoughts with the elders. And what does not resonate with you? The scripture says that when we come together to discern, that we actually submit our thoughts to one another so that they can be corrected. As you sit in discernment, what caution would you want to speak to the elders? My desire, obviously, is to put us into a posture of discerning together as a body. And the things that we talk about in our AGM in the next little while impact where we're going.